There's a new breed of revivalists that are emerging in the earth today. You were born into the greatest hour in all of history. Your job is to prepare the way and to usher in the reign of Jesus into a city and into neighborhoods and workplaces and campuses. This is what we were born for. Nothing else will satisfy you. There has to be a holy dissatisfaction. It says, God, I will not be satisfied until the entire city is saved. What you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be one of those few that says, I don't care if anybody comes with me. I'm going to give myself for revival.
You are listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Here we are again. Welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. If you are jumping in this month, this is actually part two. We are giving you two episodes a month. Part one and part two of Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Last time we referred to this as kind of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups of podcasts.
That's right.
Because there's two of them in every package every month.
Everybody loves Reese's.
So I am. Listen, if you're jumping in, go back and listen to part one. Although you could listen to part two without part one, but still, you want to get
it's
part one.
It's cheating. Yeah,
cheating. It feels. Yeah, it definitely feels wrong. So I'm Bane Leapshire, director of Jesus Culture, alongside
Zach Curry, the communications director here at Jesus Culture.
And
Becky Johnson, I'm project manager here at Jesus Culture.
And the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, our goal is to come alongside you as a leader, both in the church and outside the church. We believe that you're a leader. We believe that you're called to influence nations and cities and see transformation happen. And we want to do everything we can to come alongside you, resource you, encourage you. Bring people and leaders and books and music that have impacted our lives. We want to bring that to you. So we are glad that you are with us.
That's right. And this month we've been talking about stewarding influence. And we've been talking to some various leaders. We're going to do more of that again on this episode in part two. But we want to dive in, and we feel like for you as a leader looking at how you're stewarding the influence God's given you.
And the Lord's given all of us influence. I mean, what we know, and one of the things in the book Spotlight, that John Maxwell book, Developing the Leader Within You, you know, leadership is influence, and everybody's a leader because everybody has influence. It's one of the messages that we want to get to everybody that we can is you're a leader.
Yeah.
And you have to embrace the call to be a leader, and embracing the call to be a leader means I recognize I am influencing. I may not be influencing thousands right now, but I'm influencing, and just because you're not influencing thousands doesn't mean that you don't have influence. And I think this topic of stewarding the influence is so important because I think the Bible's very clear. I think the parable of the talents that Jesus talks about is whatever you steward well grows and you get more. An increase in the kingdom comes from taking care of and handling well what you currently have.
That's right.
You don't get more of something you're not taking good care of. So if you want to grow in influence, it means recognizing you have influence right now and stewarding that well and doing something with that.
Totally.
And I think that sometimes people, you know, you might have a heart to fill stadiums with prayer, and so you're sitting around waiting for somebody to call you to open some door for you, rather than just saying, what am I doing with the influence I have right now? I influence friends. Why don't I get them to come in my house every week and pray?
That's right.
Just simple things like that, you know? I want this certain level of influence, but I won't just steward what I currently have. So I think a lot of leadership is just recognizing I have influence, and I'm doing something about it right now. And when I do that, it will grow.
You know, and another way to look at that too is if you do nothing, you're influencing people to do nothing. You're still influencing, but if it's not intentional and it's not, you know, you're not stewarding whatever it is, the friends, the place he's put you, even the little bit of, you know, whether it's an idea or your job or your position, wherever it is, then even what you don't do influences people as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Zach. And this month we have sat down with more leaders for part two who have done exactly that. They've taken the influence that they have in these different realms of society and they've stewarded it. Yes, that's the. So we get to sit down with them. But before that, we're going to go into my least favorite segment. I will say it. I am okay to say it. We're going to end the game. We sit down with.
It's big of you, actually, though, to introduce it. That was good of you.
Well, you know, I do it.
You'd be super excited if it was like a math club segment.
Oh yeah, like in the books or
in the books with Becky Johnson.
That's right, in the
we're calculator. Checkmate.
We're talking calculus.
So we're going to go to In the Game.
All right, this is Zach Curry here with the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, and we have a really special guest with us today for In the Game. We have David Akers, an NFL kicker, who's actually a veteran, been in the league for 14 plus years. David, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we got to say, you know, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, and just coming from Northern California, which is where we're based out of, you most recently were on the San Francisco 49ers. We are huge fans, and we love you guys. And, man, we were on our biting our nails and on the edge of our seats this whole last Super Bowl. It was pretty fun to watch you guys in that run you had this last season.
It was an amazing run to be with a team that was having so much success. It was kind of a crazy year for me because I had done so well the year before personally, and then we came up short, and then this year I was really struggling, you know, personally on the field, but yet the team was having so much success. So, you know, between the physical aspects, you know, what I was doing on the field, it was a tough year personally, but man, it was, I was hoping it was all going to be worth it at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Well, you know, that's a good point you bring up too, because, you know, as a professional athlete, and you've been doing this for quite a while, you're with the Eagles, and then the San Francisco 49ers more recently, and you just signed with the Lions for this next season. You know, you have a lot of ups and downs. How do you, as a believer, as a leader who's, you know, you love Jesus and you're serving God in the realm of sports, in the midst of these ups and downs, how do you navigate that, both personally in your walk with the Lord, but also as a leader that's influencing people where he's placed you?
Well, I can say this. It's definitely not easy. In the last 4.5 to 5 years, we've had a lot of ups and downs in my family. We've had financial loss, huge financial loss. We've had health issues with myself, my daughter. We've had a lot of things that have come, you know, at us, and, you know, moving our family. It's just, I mean, multiple times, and it's been pretty tough to deal with, but, you know, you kind of have to hold on to God's promises, and I think through that, you see the promises fulfilled as you kind of look back. So in the storm, it's hard to see what's, you know, going on above and beyond the cloud line, and so as I look kind of back, you know, I got to go back to Ephesians 2:10, that God's already got a plan laid out for us,
yeah.
You know, so as I look at that, it kind of pushed me towards through you know, the Bible studies and my own devotions, and seeing, you know, Romans 5:3-5 really were you know, words that encouraged me, and for the people who may not know the top of your head, but it's like, you know, we're supposed to give glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and then through that perseverance, you know, develops character, and then character into hope. And the hope does not put us, you know, to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So as I go through that aspect, I think about the Holy Spirit as like my GPS system, and, you know, it continues to guide me. But as I look through some of the superheroes of the Bible, it wasn't, you know, this whole name it and claim it type stuff that, oh, okay, everything, once you become a Christian, it's all nice and rosy. You know, you get attacked, and you get, you know, each day there's an attack between, you know, good and evil, and it's in the spiritual realm, and we're supposed to put on our armor of God each and every day. And I've been to my knees so much and been hurt so much in so many different things. You know, if you look at it from the outside as a fan, you're like, oh, this guy's got everything, you know, that he could ever want. There's more to life than that. I mean, some money's great. Well, I've had it, and I haven't had it. And, you know, it's,
yeah.
It, while staying being content in all situations, it's tough. Ultimately, it's going back to that faith. It's like, God, I know you have a plan. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to let that word edify me and understand that I'm going to continue to fight the good fight.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, well, just one more thing. Again, we're just super thankful for you taking the time to talk with us. We do this podcast to encourage leaders from all over in different realms of society, leading, you know, from young to old. If you could give one piece of advice to the leaders that listen to this podcast, what would you say to them?
One thing that I have been trying to do in my walk for the last several years is, first off, be real to people. Be as real as possible about who you are. Not be somebody that you're not. Don't be fake. Be real. I mean, people ask you, you know, you struggle. I remember talking to some pastor friends of mine in the years past, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, just blessed. we all are blessed, all right? But, you know, what's really going on? You know, what are your struggles? What do you fight with? You know, be honest. Be a little transparent with that.
Yeah.
Because if people see that, like, this is this all lovey-dovey, you know, not realistic struggles in life, it's hard to relate to it. But if you lay out the issues that you struggle with and, you know, and show how God and your faith in Jesus and the grace that's been poured on, how that works for you to be able to get through those, it's a lot better testimony. And so I say be real, be honest with yourself to others, and then let whatever you're professing inside be manifested in your walk. You know, So in this world, you just about buy anything you want. You cannot buy character.
Yeah.
So, you know, let what you're professing be manifested in your walk.
That's so good. Well, David, thank you so much for talking with us and catching up with us. We're praying for you and just this next season with the Lions, that you have great recoveries with your injury, and man, we appreciate you as a leader that's using the gifts God's given you to influence the places He's given you a platform and showing the love and the power of God where He's put you. So thanks again for chatting with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Great talking with you.
Jesus Culture is coming to Los Angeles this summer, July 22nd through the 24th at the Gibson Amphitheater at Universal Studios. The Jesus Culture Conference Los Angeles. Come and join us for 3 days of seeking the Lord through worship and preaching. Speakers include Reinhard Bonnke,
Russell Evans,
Scott Thompson,
Havila Cunnington,
Kim Walker-Smith, and Bannon Leacher.
God is moving in a generation like never before, and our response must be to give everything we have to that.
With worship from Christine DeMarco,
Brian and Katie Torwalt,
Derek Johnson, and Chris Kilala, Kim Walker-Smith, and the Jesus Culture Band. Join us as we gather together to seek God for an awakening in a generation. Jesus Culture Conference Los Angeles, July 22nd through the 24th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Register today at jesusculture.com/LA.
Welcome back to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, and we are continuing our topic on stewarding influence, and we've been interviewing a variety of leaders who are influencing in various realms of society, and we have with us on the phone Chris Adams. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Jack. Thank you.
Chris, you are in the education as a superintendent. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I'm superintendent of schools here in California. We have five schools in my district. I oversee virtually all aspects of the organization. Every aspect of the organization falls under my direct leadership.
How has influence played a part in what you do as an educator and leading as a superintendent?
Well, I see influence as a couple of different aspects. One, how it affects me, but then how it also affects what I do. And when I think of influence, I immediately go back to what are core values, what are beliefs, and what do we hold as passions in our lives.
So along those lines, how do you define influence personally?
Well, for me, I think as the leader of the organization, I set the tone. If I come in and I'm all charged up and I'm angry, that rubs off on people. Mm. And I try and every day come in with that sense of, okay, what's your plan today? Because I don't want to let my influences or my, you know, maybe I'm upset at my daughter or my wife or whatever, you know, the gas station attendant or whatever. I got to let those things go, and I got to come in here and stay focused. Mm. on the mission, and that's our calling.
That's good. How do you personally steward this influence that you have, not only in your role as a superintendent, but also as, you know, someone who's bringing change and impacting people, even beyond that, in multiple areas, in your city and in your family and where you have influence? How do you steward that influence God's given you?
Well, I think it goes back to every day I've got to create time to set my focus for the day. I mean, I love to get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's when I do my reading. I really get my thoughts together, do my praying. It really focuses me for the day. But strengthening yourself in the Lord, I just think that's a daily thing. Renewing your mind, it's a daily thing that we have to do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing in those times when I'm reading, you know, a story, that I just get, I'll get a download, I'll get a vision of something that's, you know, never been done before. And it's like, and it's amazing when you keep that alignment, how the flow of ideas is so rich.
So I think
it starts, I accept my role as the leader. I accept my role as being the head. And as I keep my relationship, you know, with God, and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you come in and ask my secretary, ask my wife, they'll tell you that. But it starts with that early, you know, it's a willingness to say, all right, here's what I think I want to do, but what's your plan? And it's amazing how much I want to do still gets done, but we get so much more. It blows me away.
Yeah. One more quick question I want to ask you is, what advice would you give leaders, the leaders that are listening to this podcast, who lead in a various realms and areas, and what advice would you give to them on how they can better steward the influence that they have?
I give authority away. I have to trust the people around me. I have to spend time developing a relationship with them, however, so that they know how I think and what my core values are. Because I'm clear with my people, everybody, the bus drivers, the cooks, the teachers, the everybody, the librarians. When you stand talking to a parent or a student, you're making decisions in my stead. And when you understand how I think and my process, you're going to make decisions that I can support and defend. Now, if you make a mistake, that's fine. I own the authority. I don't shrink away from anything. It's my neck stretched out on the line. But mistakes happen then when you give away authority.
Yeah.
But what I see is, as I give it away, people grow because I allow them to make mistakes. I allow them to get into situations that are, you know, maybe they've created something that they've got to get themselves out of, and the next time they're presented with it, they won't get into that scenario.
Mm.
That's just kind of how I try and lead.
That's so good. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and sharing just from your own life what influence it is, and incredible stuff. We just we appreciate you. We're so thankful for leaders like you, and thank you for being on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I love you guys. Hang in there. Keep charging, man. Finish strong.
Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Okay, we are here with Julie Winter. She's a nurse practitioner here in Reading. And we've had her featured on the Culture Project panels at our conferences. We love having a relationship with her. She's a great leader in our community, and she's really walking out what it is to be a leader in her realm of influence. So thank you so much for joining us, Julie.
Great. I'm so glad to be here with you, Becky. It's really an honor. I am enjoying the opportunity.
So this podcast episode, we're talking to different leaders about what influence is to them and how they steward that influence. So I've got three quick questions, and we'll just dive right in.
Sure.
So our first question is, what is influence to you? How would you define that word, influence?
That's a loaded word, you know, and influence can be either positive or negative. You know, if you look it up in the dictionary, it can have either positive or negative attributes. But In light of this conversation, I'm going to describe it as influence means to me to have significant impact on others so that behavior changes.
Right.
So it's not so much just so that they're influenced by what you say or they're wowed by what you say, but the impact is such that they have there's a change, there's an outcome on the other side. In other words, influence has consequences.
Absolutely.
And influence can change a person's direction, mm-hmm. and I think of it as being powerful. It actually carries weight, so it's not to be taken lightly. When I think of the most influential people in my life, I think of people who changed how I think mm-hmm. and how I view life, and then that, of course, set a direction, a course or direction that has had significant consequences for me. And the most influential people to me are people who live out what they talk about, so their actions line up with their words.
That is really good. We've talked a lot about that in this episode on this podcast.
And have you?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And John C. Maxwell, who is a great leader, tons of leadership books out there, that's actually how he defines leadership, is influence. And so you're mm-hmm. right, it is such a loaded word, and it can go both ways. And he says, you know, everybody is influencing someone, therefore everyone to some degree is a leader. And
that's true.
Yeah, to be aware that we are always influencing, whether positive or negative. Next question here is we want to ask each person that we're interviewing what they do personally to steward the influence that God has given you in where you're at in life.
Well, for me to steward influence well, I need to keep an awareness of who I am and whose I am. Mm-hmm. So I need to understand my position in the body of Christ. And I think many people either underestimate and in some cases maybe overestimate their position, and so they miss opportunities to impact others. And I don't want to be like the steward, you know, who buried their talents instead
yeah.
of using them. So it's important to increase what you've been given. And you might start off, most likely, we all start off with small amounts of influence. But if we steward that well, that influence grows. On the other hand, if I use my influence to manipulate other people,
mm-hmm.
If I take the influence I have and I use it in a incorrect way and manipulate others or jockey for a higher position, then I'll be brought down. I'll be like the guest who sat himself too high at the table, and then the host had to have him move down because somebody came in with a more important guest arrived. And I've had that happen to me before in the past, and that's humiliating.
Yeah.
And so speaking from experience, I consciously avoid that. So because of that, I tend to take the lower road and use humility. On the other hand, you need to understand what your position is, but I don't try to bring about fame, so to speak, with my influence. I just want to increase in favor with God and with man.
Yeah.
So I find taking the road of humility is a much better way. Let others raise you up. So sit at the lower end of the table and let other people move you up.
Yeah, it's always better to be asked to come up than be asked to go back down. And
oh, it is. It's an awful experience.
And this kind of goes into our next question. For what advice would you give to the leaders listening on how they can better steward their influence?
Sure. Well, first of all, like I said, understand your position, know who you are mm-hmm. and what influence you have. And I think you only have as much influence as people have respect for you. So make sure that you live a life full of integrity and that your actions match your words. You will quickly lose influence if you can't be backed up with your actions. I read this quote somewhere here recently. I'm trying to I can't remember who said it, but he who loves the most has the most influence.
Wow.
That's powerful. And I think of some of those people who love the most that I have in my life, they have a lot of influence in changing my behavior because I know they love me. So make sure that your underlying motive is love, and then you'll have favor. And two other things. First of all, the next one would be guard your heart.
Mm.
If you guard your heart, then you don't have to worry about your tongue. That's what Bill Johnson says. So true. We're always trying to guard our tongue, but if we guard our heart, because out of your heart flows your tongue. You speak out of your heart. So guard your heart, because I have said things off the cuff, and then I go back and, oh, if I could just pull those words back, because it causes you to lose influence if you're saying things that you shouldn't be saying. So guard your tongue and guard your heart. And then the last thing I want to say is pursue excellence. Whoever is excellent in what they do will sit before kings.
Wow.
So there are no shortcuts. If you want to have influence, you need to be excellent
mm-hmm.
at what you do. So that requires further education, further training, but always go for excellence, and you will have influence.
Thank you so much, Julie. I love the things you said here in this interview, and so appreciate you taking the time to speak with the leaders listening. Like we said, Julie, you're an amazing leader in our community. You're well known here, and we love what you're doing. So you've got some really great advice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Becky. It was an honor, and you have a blessed day.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Grab your physical book, cup of coffee, curl up in your favorite chair, and sit back for Becky's Book Nook.
Welcome to Becky's Book Nook, where we have bookshelves filled with physical, hard copy books. We have no chargers here. We have no dead electronic devices.
Dead.
Because you have to worry about them charging.
Right.
You know, we just sit with a book and a cup of tea. So join me for Becky's Book Nook. Today, we're going to talk about one of my personal favorite books, Developing the Leader Within You. Banning referenced it. He tried to almost steal my thunder by mentioning it before the segment. I can't believe him. Developing the Leader Within You by John C. Maxwell. This is a book that I read at two different times in my life, which was really interesting. I read it as a student at the School of Ministry here. And I was not married. I was a teenager. I was 18. And I read it and I really thought, I have no reason to read this because I'm not a leader. And I didn't see myself as that. And so, but I had to read it for the curriculum. So I read it and it just completely blew me away. He talks about how, I'll read from the chapter, but he talks about how leadership is influence. That's the definition of leadership. And that's how he starts the whole book out. The first chapter is about influence. And he talks about how everyone has influence, therefore everyone is a leader. And that is when, you know, I read that chapter and I kind of perked up and I thought, I didn't see myself as that, but I realized I do have influence in the smallest way, you know, with my core group of six friends and, you know, my fiance, like my family.
Only six friends, Becky?
My core group, I said. My fiance and my family. And these are people who are looking to me and I am influencing them. And so I need to take that seriously. And then he goes, you know, the rest of the book is about developing the leader that is inside of you. And whether you see it or not, you are a leader because you have influence. So it's just really amazing. And then I read it not too long ago, earlier this year, within the last year I read it, as further along in my journey of leadership, and now that I work here at Jesus Culture, and it was almost like it had brand new stuff to say to me and brand new insights and brand new revelation. So this is a book that I would encourage you to read kind of continually and pick it apart and highlight things and go back to it. So I want to read a little bit from chapter one. I will read from this book.
Where are you reading it from, Becky, right now?
Oh, Zach, that's cold.
I had to do it because, listen, I posted a picture of Banning reading a physical book on the plane.
Oh, it's true.
So we need, and actually, you're using my phone right now, so I will just say it.
Double.
So I would take a picture.
It's painful. I am reading this from an iPhone because I couldn't find the copy. I was unprepared. I couldn't find the copy.
It's at home.
Of my book. It's on my bookshelf. I do have it. And it's beautifully written.
I had to do it, Becky. I had to do it.
Thanks a lot, Zach. Keeping me honest. So I'm reading this from an iPhone. It's true. In iBooks. But I don't like it. The definition of leadership is influence. And in it he says, that's it. Leadership is influence. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. My favorite leadership proverb is, he who thinketh he leadeth and hath no one following him is only taking a walk. And then he goes on to say how everyone influences someone. And the goal with this book is to help you accept leadership as influence. That is the ability to get followers and then work backward from that point to help you learn how to lead. And so he sets up the whole book about developing these crucial leadership skills that you should have. It begins with understanding what leadership is and its influence. And so if you don't get that, and that was where I was at, I didn't understand that that's what leadership was. I thought leadership was a position or a title or some kind of rank. Like that is what makes a leader, but it's not. It starts with influence and everybody has that. And so it's not so much we're chasing a rank or a certain position. We are chasing, you know, followers and influence. And so understanding that just sets you up for a great road of success to then start to develop those skills within you and really develop the leader that is inside of you. So it's a really great book. I encourage everyone to pick it up. And it's one of those books, too, that you can kind of just piece through. Like, I remember I'll even open it kind of in the middle and just look at, you know, what have I highlighted, or just certain chapters. Maybe I'm struggling with a certain area, you know, feeling like it's underdeveloped, and I'll just go to that chapter. It's just a really great resource. One of my favorite books. So,
and it goes perfectly with this whole topic of stewarding influence.
Yeah, it absolutely does, because that's where it all begins. So, John C. Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You, and we'll put all the information up on JesusCulture.com/podcast. The link to buy the actual
physical book.
The physical book.
Thanks for being honest, Rebecca.
Oh, thanks for helping me. Thanks for helping me stay honest.
Well, we are at the end of this
Reese Cup,
this part two of this month's episode, the topic of stewarding influence. And hopefully you've been challenged and even got some inspiration or examples from some of the leaders we talked to.
Yes.
And the book that Becky mentioned is also another great resource to developing and stewarding the influence that you have wherever you're at as a leader.
Absolutely.
And we really just believe that it's encouraging you to even look afresh around you, mm-hmm. at who God has made you to be right now. I mean, we're still growing, but right now, where you're at, we can always grow and take advantage and fully engage the influence that He's given us and steward that.
That's right. Thanks so much for joining us. We have loved having you.
Loved it. And we can't say it enough, we love interacting with you.
Yes.
On social media, Facebook and Twitter, so keep those
at JC Podcast.
That's right. And we're going to close now, but we will be back next month for two more rousing episodes of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening.